Thanks, Aaron, and good morning, everyone. We are wrapping up our series today in Kingdom Come. For those who are new, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And we've been in here, this is part 20. We've been in here for a little while, but I hope you've been blessed. I hope you've been encouraged to want to grow to be more like Jesus. Today, the final kind of caution that Jesus was mentioning was about two builders building on two different foundations. And we want to look at that. And essentially, what it comes down to is there's one foundation that's based on hearing what God says and doing it, and the other one, hearing and not doing it. So just want to get that on the upfront. That's literally the message right there. And that reminded me of a personal story in my own life before I read the passage I wanted to share. So some of you know, I went to Elam Bible Institute and College in Rochester, New York, specifically Lima. And I remember my last year as a senior at Elam, I was an RA. Anyone ever been an RA before on a college campus? We got some RAs, you know. So you're supposed to be like responsible for the students and like, you know, you talk to higher ups, you're supposed to pass it down. You know what it's like. And so I was an RA specifically in a building that was behind the library. So there was a library, and then I was behind that. It was a small like unit of like 20 guys. And then in the basement, there was also 20 other guys. And so I was an RA there. I remember one specific instruction that was given to me was that I needed to keep the heat in the hallway of the floor I'm on at a certain temperature all throughout the winter. Seems really simple, right? Just keep the heat at the same temperature. There was even a lockbox on it. And like you couldn't even access it. So it's like, okay, like I don't even have the key for that. Like this seems like a no-brainer. Jim is going to be a winner here today, right? You know, and I'm feeling good. I mean, this is an easy rule. I'm the senior class president. Like there's no way I'm going to screw up a thermostat. Like obviously I heard what you said, don't touch it, right? Jesus also gives us cautions too that seem sometimes very simple. And like, you know, God, I got this. But when things come down, sometimes we realize we don't got it because we're not applying what was simply said. So I remember when there was a small uprising among the guys on my floor, because it was like 90 degrees in January, and we were like sweating, like we were losing weight, you know, based on the heat. And they're like, Jim, I mean, if you're ever an RA, it prepares you for being a parent, right? It's like a bunch of toddlers, right? I love toddlers. You're in the room right now. But they're just kind of like, please, like, we got to get rid of the heat and heat. And I'm like, no, they told me not to change it. Like, come on. Like, we're not doing this, you know? But you ever get worn down, right? Just kept asking. And I'm like, you know what? If you can figure out a way to get into that lockbox, sure, just knock it down a couple degrees. I'm just trying to have peace in my room and do some homework, right? RAs do have lives, so I'm trying to do well at school, and you're not helping. So I just let it go there. So surprisingly, some of the students, they formerly before Christ, they could get into vehicles and other things very quickly. So they got in the lockbox in about 1 second. I didn't expect that. I thought it would be like a whole night operation. They would give up. So they were in there in a second. They dropped it down like 10 or 20 degrees. So I had no clue until the next morning when the maintenance staff was all in the floor below me because all the pipes had froze on the floor below. I was only thinking about, well, I didn't even know the impact of what would happen. I just thought it'd be cooler for us. I never thought it could impact people below us. The reason why we were cooking is because the same thermostat also controlled the basement heat. And I did not realize that. Sometimes we only want to follow Jesus if we know every single outcome instead of just obeying what was simply said. I remember seeing the maintenance like just working nonstop early morning as guys' stuff is just getting flooded on, because it's flooding now into people's dorm room, just sprinkling down. And here I am, the class president. The RA had one responsibility. It's the only one they trusted me with, was you're the one person to be in charge. There was another RA, but they didn't talk to Josue. They just wanted me to do it. Josue probably would have done a lot better. He would have obeyed, probably. And I remember dodging the maintenance worker in the cafeteria, just looking down, because I was realizing I had to go talk to the president now of the school, because this is going to be thousands of dollars of repairs for not obeying a simple command, right? I just didn't think through, well, what are the outcomes? I don't think it's going to have this kind of impact. I remember having to go and ask for forgiveness to the higher-ups, because it's now costing school thousands of dollars, as well as to the maintenance worker I was avoiding, because I had disobeyed. Anyone ever disobeyed before? Hopefully not with that kind of, you know, you don't have to necessarily raise your hand if you want. Jesus is, he's just hitting it hard. I'm just giving out. He is hitting it hard. If you're following after Jesus, Jesus wants you to listen and do what he's saying. But sometimes we just want to listen and listen and listen and then just do what we want to do. At least I've done that before. Before I get to our text, I wanted to look back at the beginning for a second in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. This is what Jesus said at the beginning, and we're going to see this kind of wrapping up at the end. It says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." This is Jesus talking. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not the smallest letter, not a dot, the smallest part of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same," kind of like me with the heating thing, I'm going to relax that rule, and you can go do it. Don't do that. "Will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And that's the focus. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what, the longer I follow after Jesus, I'm not really that impressed by people that can just teach things they don't do. I'm really impressed by people that just do things and occasionally teach. Are you with me? Because I realize it's really easy to get up here or anybody just say something, but are you actually living it out? And from the overflow, maybe you want to mention something, but for those who teach, like myself, others, just real caution, don't teach what you don't do. That's what Jesus calls a hypocrite. Verse 20, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So I just want to say this on the upfront, as Jesus is once again in the beginning, and we'll see this again in Matthew 7. If you just take it as is, Jesus is making a point to the religious leaders that it is impossible to fulfill the law apart from Christ. Amen? It is impossible. So you need Jesus. Because when we start looking at the builders, you're going to think like, oh, I just need to like hear and do, and that's religion, or not do, and that's religion. Where it's realizing you need to hear, realize your depravity, that you need Jesus more than everything, rely on the grace of God, and then go do what Jesus is calling you to do. Amen? You're not doing it alone. Because otherwise, it's going to be like, okay, I'm just trying to get out of addiction. Now I'm trying to get over here. I'm just trying to obey my wife. Now I'm trying to go over here. I'm trying to be a better dad, but now I'm not doing it. It's just back and forth, back and forth. One day you do it. One day you fail. One day you do it. One day you fail. But Jesus can allow us to have the power and the strength to overcome. Amen? You're not called to do it alone. So Jesus is making a point that you cannot fulfill all the commands. And the religious leaders could not do it. But essentially, he's showing that he is the fulfillment of the commands, and he can do it. Our righteousness is based on Jesus, not our own. That's salvation. But out of that, God has called us to do good works. And we're going to focus on that a little bit more as Jesus gives his final caution as he's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. So let's go to Matthew 7 now, in verse 24. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it's been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. Take a moment to pray. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that you're not trying to kill joy or life. You're trying to give us life, Lord, by showing us things that we can do to follow after you. Holy Spirit, would you show us how we can grow? You're so personal, God. Show us the areas that you want us to say no to, areas we want to say yes to the strength that you give us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So this is a really, I remember in Sunday school hearing this, and seeing it illustrated, like this is a pretty well-known passage. And if you haven't heard it before, it's really simple. It's really simple. You're hearing and doing, and then you're hearing and not doing. And Jesus compares that to two builders. And I just want to make mention, I know we have the kids here, so I'm just going to do a little side right here. Kids and older kids, if you like drawing, does anyone like drawing? Any of the kids? Who likes drawing here? Got some draw? Yeah, I got some. Okay, I got some hands up. Even bigger kids. I would encourage you, if you like, to draw an illustration of two houses, one built on the sand and one on the rock, then some waves and wind and whatever you want to do hitting that. If you like to do that for fun, feel free to do that. And I'd love to see it afterwards. If that helps you kind of dig in a little bit. So now we get back in. And for big kids, you might be like, I want to do that too. Go for it. Have fun. God giving you creative, artistic talent. Go for it. So we want to be looking at specifically what it looks like to hear and then do. It's interesting, as Jesus is sharing, that these two houses, they're both being built. And Jesus is making it very clear. Last week was false followers. The week before was false teachers. It's possible to live a superficial kind of obedience discipleship to Jesus. It looks exterior, it looks like you're in the game. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, Jesus has some very strong words. You call them whitewashed tombs. So on the outside, you look really nice, but on the inside, you are dead, like rotting corpse. That's really strong language. And Jesus is once again making with multiple illustrations that you can build a life that looks like it's all right on the outside. And many people, maybe even yourself, thinks you're doing great. But when the storms of life come, that's one way of looking at this, it's interesting that the foundation you're building on will be shown, right? I wish that if you're obeying Jesus and all the things he's told you to do, that no storms would come to your life. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, I used to think that way. If I follow after Jesus, I do all the things he's asked me to do, say no to sin, yes to Jesus, all these great things, there's just going to be no storms, right? But is that what Jesus is saying? No. Storms come to those who obey Christ. Storms come to those who disobey Christ. So the question isn't storms. Like, if on anything, it actually gets harder if you follow Jesus circumstantially. But it gets better because you're growing to look more like Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? Consider it pure joy when you face various trials and with the testing of your faith. James 1, right? It develops. It's not what we want, but I'll be honest, the places I grow the fastest in my life to look more Jesus is when I'm in tribulation, difficulty, when I don't know the future and I can't see it. All I know is Jesus. And I tell you, you can grow real fast in tribulation if you want to grow. You also can grow really bitter as well. And I've done that as well. Bitterness is real easy to grow. But growing to look more like Jesus, I'm like, God, would you help me in my struggles? So where are you building your house? Let's just make this kind of personal. Jesus made it kind of really simple, this message, but where are you building your house? Are you building it on the rock of hearing what the Lord's speaking to you through his word, privately, through prayer? Remember, what God shows you will always line up with his word. So the best way to hear God is just by opening up the Bible, right? Get in the word, hear from God, but not just reading it, but actually going out and doing something with it. Where are you building your life? I remember I met a young man, well, I was young too, I was probably 16, he was 18, I was a camp counselor in New Hampshire, and he was trying to build, you can't actually do this, but he was trying to build his house in two locations at once. He's trying to build it on the sand and on the rock. This actually isn't possible. I remember, I thought he was just so cool. Growing up, I just really, nothing wrong with being shy, but I just really shy, and I always look at the really like, people that could talk and dress well. And he was like, you could play guitar. I mean, that's automatically cool, right? You're at a camp and you can play guitar and I'm playing Coldplay on the piano. You're like, all the girls go over to him. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't compete against a guitar and sunglasses. I don't know. So he was that guy. He loved the Lord and he led worship at a church. He was like a young person that was super gifted and did all this stuff. But I remember he came to me once when I was at the beach. I had no clue what was going on in his life. I just thought this guy was the real deal. I wish I was him and I'm not. And wow, he's gifted in like everything. Wow, God, you kind of just gave him all the gifts, but that's cool. And I'd take one, maybe, or a half of one. I'd take a half a gift. Yeah, that'd be good. That's probably what I could handle. Can't handle, temperature gauges at all, thermostats. God, just give me a half a gift. He came to me once when I was on the beach, and you know what he told me? He's like, Jim, he's like, I am getting eaten up inside. I had no clue what's going on in his life. He's like, you see, back in Massachusetts, he's like, I lead worship every Sunday, and this is a high schooler. He's like, and I lead one service, another service. But he's like, on Saturday, because we have kids, he'll just keep it real general. But on Saturday night, though, he's like, I party as if I don't even know Jesus. He's like, the addictions I'm in, the relationships I'm in on Saturday are completely from the person I am on Sunday. And he's like, I'm being torn up on the inside. I had no clue. It was one of those things, like, he just felt, I guess he could trust me, probably because I didn't say anything. It's too shy. Way to go for being shy. People think you're wise if you don't say anything, so... He came up to me, little did he know, but I was there and he was just talking to me And I realized, wow. And he's just wanting to share that. He's like, I don't want to live this life anymore. If we use this illustration, I'm building my house half on the sand, half on the rock. And it's killing me because I know, no one else knows, the pastor doesn't know, my family doesn't know, the worship team doesn't know, that I'm actually the biggest hypocrite on a Sunday. I get up and I sing about songs, about following after Jesus, and Monday through Saturday, I live a life completely opposite to Jesus. I literally do everything opposite what the scriptures say. And he's getting torn up. You know why? Because he's being convicted. Jesus, the word, was saying stuff against what he was doing, not because he's trying to be a killjoy in my friend's life, but because he has something better, amen? If you look at like, man, God's just a bunch of rules. I just want to have a lot of fun. I just want to do me to the full extent and also get into heaven too, but do me at the same time. Like, it just doesn't work. The beautiful thing, he was in a place of one confession. That's actually scriptural, right? Confess your sins to one another. He didn't realize it, I don't think, but he's confessing his sins. I'm like, dude, I don't even know you or your issues, but man, I don't hold anything. Like, you can just ask God for forgiveness. And so I remember he just wanted to ask for forgiveness and start walking that out of repentance. Aren't you thinking about God as a God that forgives? Because sometimes when you hear do and obey and you realize how many times you fail, you're like, well, I guess God's going to give up on me because how long am I going to be living as a sinner in this specific area? Just know that God's grace never runs out. He doesn't give up on you. So if you're in a place of difficulty that everybody knows, just know that God's, he has the best for you. He's rooting for you to look more like Jesus. Or if you're like my friend who had a secret like addiction to like multiple things, relationships, drugs, all these things, and nobody knew about it, just know that God sees you in that quiet, dark place, and he wants to bring light, amen, to shine it through, not to condemn you, but to set you free, that you might walk freely with Jesus. It's not possible to build our houses in two locations, but we can try sometimes to do that. Jesus's little kind of stepbrother, James, he talked about living a life without actually doing anything that we're believing. He used the contrast of actually faith and works. I want to look at that for a moment. This is in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. James says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Whew. "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he was offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And I know we're in the Sermon on the Mount, but James is making the point that a real act of faith in Jesus, there's works that come out of that, amen? We're not saved by works. We're not saved by obedience. But if we are truly spiritually reborn, just like a tree that, you know, is growing or a branch that's abiding in, like with a vine illustration, there'll be good fruit that comes out of that, that we walk into. And if you're in a place in life, you realize there's not a lot of fruit in my life that look like Jesus. The question is am I really abiding in Christ? Am I building upon what Jesus has asked me to build upon? Or am I just doing kind of the external, you know, I'm working on, you know, wrapping my house in vinyl, so to speak, but inside it's completely a mess. And specifically, my foundation will not stand the storms that come. So there's storms of life. They'll come to both those who obey and those who disobey what Jesus has said. But ultimately, and last week we were looking at this, there's the major storm in life actually isn't just the many ones we get through life, but at the end of life, right? When we're facing Jesus face to face, last week I was reading about that Jesus, he says he'll be the judge, which is amazing that the judge who will be judging all of us, everyone goes to heaven. My dad would always say this, everyone goes to heaven, but not everybody stays. And Jesus is the judge. But the crazy thing about Jesus being the judge, he's holy, he's righteous, there's justice. So many times people are just calling out nowadays in our world, we need more justice, right? We need more, like, you know, raising up justice, caring. It was just great. But realize that Jesus, he is the most just person in the universe, amen? And he's holy. But at the same time, that judge came as a humble servant and died for those who would be judged. Is that not amazing? I mean, if that doesn't blow your mind, that the one who would be judging us for all eternity and saying, hey, you know, are you in, are you out? He came and died for us that we might have a way to him, knowing that when we're in front of him, there's no amount of righteousness apart from our own in any way or form that could ever allow us into a life with Jesus in heaven. Jesus is the just judge, but he also came as a servant and as our savior. So I want to look for a moment at a snapshot. If you've been here the whole time or most of the time, you'll remember some of these. If not, you can look at them. But we're going to throw up the 20 parts of this series. Oh, wow, that's great. Nice visual, by the way. That's way better than I had. It was like a spreadsheet. I'm not going to go through all these, but this is where we've been going through with our sermon series. And the reason why I want to go here is because the application of this message is hearing what Jesus says and doing it. You're with me, right? Hearing and doing. So let's just look at some of the things that Jesus told us to do. And can we just take a minute, whether this is your first time here, you've been here the whole time, and these are like, you know, just kind of gives you the category, topics or whatever. But I would encourage you, I'm going to do this too. I'm going to take a moment to look at this. I'm going to encourage you, pick one of these areas, unless you feel like the Lord wants you to pick more. Pick one that you feel like maybe that God wants you to look at this week. The scripture reference is right next to it. And apply what Jesus says. Are you with me? Because we want to be hearers and doers, those who are a wise builder that builds their house on a rock. Foolish builder will just hear all this and do nothing with it. And I don't want to be that. I've done that so much and had to repent. But let's just take a moment to look at this list. What might the Lord be showing you? And you can just take, I'm just going to take 20 seconds or so to be quiet. And I encourage you, put it in your phone, write it on a piece of paper, tell somebody how you remember. But what one of these do you want to just kind of revisit? You feel like, you know, Lord, I think I want to read that, but also, Lord, would you help me apply that this week? So let's just take a moment. All right, I hope you got one. I'm just going to take a moment to pray for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, I know I want to be hearer and doer, but God, there's times I do not. And forgive me, Lord. And God, I'm sure brothers and sisters, we want to go after you, but we just kind of, I don't know, just get busy doing us. God, forgive us. Help us to slow down. Lord, I pray that this week, the scripture that you want us to reflect on, that you would give us the strength. I pray joy to follow you in obedience to your word this week. God, thank you that you don't invite us to walk this journey alone. You do it with us. You've gone before us. God, you are at the finish line cheering us on, praying for us each and every day. God, help us encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm not going to ask, but I hope you have something. I got one right here. I'm like, all right, I know where to go. I'm going to revisit this week, and yeah, I'm going to look at this, and I think Crystal's here. Crystal, you can ask me. I'll ask you what you're doing, but just have someone to hold you accountable. Like, hey, how you doing applying that? And just pray for someone else this week. So maybe it's a family member or a friend. After the service, you're sitting by yourself. Maybe ask somebody, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to apply this week. Could you be praying for me? Because I really want to grow in this area to honor the Lord. So where are you building your house? Are you building on the rock or on the sand? I want to give this encouragement as I'm wrapping up today, that if you find yourself absorbing tons of scripture, devotional, Christian books, podcasts, YouTube videos, etc., and applying very little what you're learning, this is my encouragement. I would encourage you to read or consume less. I know I seem kind of weird because it's like, no, we got to just read everything, listen to every podcast and every video. The reason why is, you're hearing a whole lot, or I'm hearing a whole lot when I do this. But do you realize that the more you actually absorb of scripture, you're now being held accountable to? And so I definitely wouldn't want to rush my way through the entire Bible and apply none of it, right? Be very knowledgeable. I could teach people about things I don't do. Or, and that's not what you want to do, by the way. Or, even if the Lord's like, just slow the pace down. Take one verse today. Or maybe a chapter, or whatever the Lord might have for you, just reflect on it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord, how can I apply this today? If you find that you're not, revisit it the next day. Our vision here at New Hope Community Church is growing towards maturity in Christ. And unless through the power and grace of God, we're applying God's scripture, we won't look more like Jesus. We'll just intellectually know a lot about Jesus. Are you with me? There is a huge difference. Believe me, I have like 7 years of religious studies. I know a lot of stuff about Jesus, religion, philosophies. Does that mean my life is anywhere near all the stuff I know? No. But I want to. Step by step, right? And little bits. Let me tell you, don't just absorb endless amounts of other people's experiences with Jesus. It's great to hear podcasts. Wow, that person spends hours in prayer and the Lord gave them that. Could you spend 5 minutes in prayer and experience that directly from God, right? Devotionals are great too. Wow, someone read from James 1:19. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become anger, and writes a whole thing on it. There's nothing wrong with devotional. But might you just want to pause and ask the Lord, God, if I was to write a devotional today, what would I say? And what would you want to say to me? Are you with me? Because Lord wants to speak right through you. It's the difference between like a bird chewing up like the worm, you know, and giving it to the baby birds. It's great because you're fed. But as you grow, I'm believing that God wants that all of us access Christ just directly. Even as kids, if you know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's within you. There's no junior Holy Spirit, right? There's no junior Holy Spirit. If you spend time, hopefully family devotions daily or weekly, however your family rhythms are, personally reading the Bible, asking God, how can I apply this today, Lord? What does this mean? And if you don't know, ask your parents or ask your grandparents and just, hey, how can I apply this today? I want to be like the wise person that built a house on the rock. But I would encourage you and myself, if you're not reading any scripture or anything, yeah, definitely start. But if you find, I find oftentimes in Christianity, especially in our culture, sometimes we can just get like, we just want the newest knowledge. But if you read the Bible a lot, there's actually not anything new in it. It's just true, right? If you notice, sermons are always the same. And if they're different, then you might want to leave the church. I've never heard this interpretation in Matthew 6 before. It doesn't even line up with the Bible. That's probably not a good thing. God's word doesn't change. Jesus made that clear. Not the smallest letter, not the smallest part of the letter will disappear or go away or fade away. Jesus came to fulfill it. But we want to be in a place and a posture of just opening our lives to what God wants to do daily. Something that the Lord, I just want to share as an encouragement, has really been helping me, is in Matthew 6, 33, I didn't have 34 in there. It says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then verse 34 is, don't worry about tomorrow, for each day is enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? And something that's been really helpful, I just want to give it as an encouragement, because I really want to just teach things that I'm doing. I don't want to teach things that I'm not doing. So I want to teach something I'm doing. So this is something I'm doing. I'm really just trying to be present in each day. And I feel like one of the great ways to do that is don't assume tomorrow is a given, right? Because sometimes we can live as if we'll live forever on this planet, but honestly, we don't know how long. God might come back, something might happen to us. So you got this moment, and you don't even know if you have the end of the day, honestly. But if you just live for today, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough worry of its own. Jesus said that. God, how can I listen to you today? And I think it's very helpful, because when I sit down with others who want to grow in the Lord, sometimes it's like, hey, did you read the Bible at all last week? And it's like, no, I haven't, but I really want to. And sometimes it's easier to take it from a day-to-day perspective, right? Instead of thinking about how am I going to do this for the whole week, well, you might not even be around the next week. Who knows? Hopefully you are. I really hope all of you are around. Beautiful faces. Look at these smiles, right? But to take it, Lord, I got Sunday today. Have I spent any time with you personally today? If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Tomorrow, I hope it's there, but I can't live in tomorrow and I can't relive yesterday. Are you with me this morning? Right? It really actually simplifies everything very clearly. So that way it's like, well, tomorrow morning I'm going to read the Bible and I'm struggling with that addiction, a sin issue today, but tomorrow I'm going to read it. Tomorrow's reading is not going to help you right now, right? I don't know about you, but I've always been trying to exercise tomorrow. I never lose weight. Are you with me? Man, Crystal, if you could see this, you know, this ab rotation, you'd be amazed. Tomorrow, that's the day. That doesn't work in anything, right? I'm going to go work tomorrow. Well, kind of got to go to work today, but let's live in the moment. Let's live each day for Jesus. And as we're wrapping up this sermon series, I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time. I encourage you, yeah, just take one day at a time. I feel like sometimes we make things so complicated, but Jesus made things really simple. Like his illustrations, his stories, his parables, some of them you got to get the deeper meaning, but a lot of them are pretty straightforward. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying, especially in God's word, and are you applying it? And if you are hearing and not applying it, you might want to ask why. In James, it said that even the demons believe in God and they shudder. Just believing in God doesn't mean you're following God. Because when Satan, Lucifer, one of the angels, because the devil was one of the angels, if you're not aware of that, but he didn't want to just serve God, he wanted to be God. So Jesus casted him out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him, which are now demons. So a third of the angels, I don't know how many that is, it's probably a ton. So the demons recognize that there's a God, but they do not obey him or follow him. I just want to give that as encouragement. Just because you're like, I believe in God, great. The demons do that too. But there needs to be something different in our life, right? Than acknowledging that, yeah, the demons shudder when they think of God because they know that they're created by him and they ultimately will be destroyed by him. But Jesus longs for something deeper in our lives. So let's take a moment to pray, and then we're going to sing a song and a benediction. And if you're able to stay around, we're having hot dogs, I believe, fellowship time. Love to just hang out. Let's take a moment to pray. God, I thank you so much for your word, God. And Lord, I just pray this for my life. I've been just praying for someone else recently about this. God, I pray for those who long to hear your word and apply it, but lack the desire. God, I pray, Lord, for a greater desire over us today. God, I pray that your zeal would consume us. God, if there's pleasures that are getting in the way of following you, God, I pray that we could just lay those down, those idols, and repent. God, if we're stuck in sin and addiction and doing it on our own, God, I pray we would repent and ask for help. But Lord, I pray that we would desire you and seek you first before anyone or anything else. Mm-hmm. God, we don't know if we have tomorrow. So Lord, I want to live with my brothers and sisters today. God, may we love you today, and may we love people for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.